All right, I'm going to need to get my Bible out because my iPad just died. All right. Yeah, exactly. That's fascinating. Right then, it was working. We've got a couple of scripture readings today. The first is from Psalm 19, which will feel a little familiar to you, because we read from it last week. And then Psalm chapter 8. On Psalm 19, I'm going to be reading the first four verses. And I invite you to listen to the word of the Lord. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. And then from Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals, that you care for them. Yet you have made them a little lower than God, or the angels, as some translations say, and crowned humans with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, your word has gone forth, and as we sit together now, we pray that it will bear fruit within us. Help us to hear what you want us to hear, and then nudge us to experience you in new ways. We offer our prayers and our invitation to your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. I learned this term a few years back that didn't make a lot of sense to me at first. It's a Japanese term, Shinrin Yoku. How many of you were talking about that this morning? Shinrin Yoku. It's a compound word in Japanese. Shinrin means forest, and yoku means bath. Forest bathing. Have you heard of this before? It became popular about 6 years ago, and I see that it's not very commonly known. When I first heard the term, I thought, well, that's just weird. What does that even mean? Like, we're supposed to roll around in Spanish moss or something? What does that mean? But before I learned the term, I had felt it. It means being immersed in forest or in nature. So, Miss Ebony, I think you've got a picture of a book cover up here. Forest Bathing, How Trees Can Help You Find Health and Happiness by Dr. Chang Lee. And he wrote an article in Time Magazine in 2018, same year that the book was published, that he describes a little bit about the benefits of this. He said, we've known for centuries that being out in nature is helpful to us. And yet, increasingly, in our culture, we are removed from nature. He points out that 50% by 2050, excuse me, 67% of the world's population is expected to live in cities. And this from the Environmental Protection Agency, estimates are that the average American spends 93% of their time indoors. And the other 7% is walking between the car and, I'm kidding. We are distanced increasingly from nature. And yet, Dr. Cheng Li points out that even the smallest amount of time spent out of doors can rejuvenate the spirit. So in his article from Time Magazine, he describes finding a spot somewhere among trees and using the five senses. These, he says, are the keys. You want to drink in nature. You want to absorb it with your eyes. You want to smell the air and the scents of the flowers. You want to hear what the forest has to communicate to you. If you are a hiker like me or somebody who enjoys being outdoors, you've probably experienced this before. But I want to share with you some of the insights that he lists in his article. He says, let nature enter through your ears, eyes, nose, mouth, hands, and feet. Listen to the birds singing and the breeze rustling in the leaves of the trees. Look at the different greens of the trees and the sunlight filtering through the branches. I think you might have a picture there, Miss Ebony, of some sunlight coming through branches. Smell the fragrance of the forest and breathe in the natural aromatherapy. Taste the freshness of the air as your lungs breathe deep. Place your hands on the trunk of a tree. Dip your fingers or toes in a stream. Lie on the ground. Drink in the flavor of the forest and release your sense of joy and calm. This is your sixth sense, a state of mind. Now you have connected with nature. You have crossed the bridge to happiness. Unless this sound a little woo-woo to you, I have an article for you that we'll have at the back. Right now it's up here at the front, from the Cleveland Clinic from this past December, which describes the health benefits of forest bathing, of being present in nature. Now you've heard it, Shinrin Yoku. How many of you thought about that this morning? Now you have, forest bathing. But it has all kinds of benefits for our health. So I'm going to have these available to you for every household to take and learn a little bit more from the Cleveland Clinic about that. Last week we looked at Psalm 19 and we talked about how Scripture is this window to God and opens us to praise of God. And we looked starting at verse 7, and today we backed it up a little bit and we started where the psalmist starts, that praise begins with creation. He starts with the book of creation. This generic book written to El and by El, God, the generic name for God, and then translating it into the scripture from Yahweh, the personal God. And as you heard, read from my actual Bible rather than my iPad Bible, the world, the psalmist says, bears witness to God's presence and creativity. The world, creation, does what the congregation does in those next verses, offering their praises to God. All of creation offers its praises to the Creator God too. He says, there is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, and yet their voice goes throughout the earth. It is celebrated across the world. Theologian by the name of James L. Mays says, it is an unending concert sung by the universe to the glory of God. Now, we always have some folks who are careful doctrine protectors for us, and we want to be sure that we're not talking about pantheism, God in the, you know, the tree's God, the bird is God. The scripture does not indicate that at all. There is a distinction between the creator and the created, and the psalmist keeps them separate. The creation steps on the side of the congregation to offer its praise to God, or to shine down its praise of God to the people. For me, this is a little reminiscent of hearing a moving piece of music. Revelation song that we just sang, that is a powerful song for me. I almost always experience the presence of the Lord in that. But one that I commonly experience it with is the Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah. I'll bet no matter, I used to keep a copy of that in my car, and I listened to it year-round, the whole Handel's Messiah. But to this good day, when I hear a choir sing the Hallelujah Chorus, I am probably going to tear up. I'm going to probably feel so moved that I'm carrying that with me for days, hours. I don't think that the Hallelujah Chorus is God, okay? The Hallelujah Chorus points me to God. It makes me aware of God. And creation does the same thing. Creation is unrestricted by language. It transcends human communication. So there's no regard for different human dialects or languages and geographic boundaries. All of it is spoken by the people everywhere. If you've traveled much, you may have been in a nation where your first language is not the first language of the people. How do you communicate? It is amazing what this right here will do. A smile says, "My intentions are good. I want to know you. Help me understand." We also resort to sign language, right? We'll start, you know, we'll come up when Dad's doing the news of the family, and we'll go, and he says, "What does that even mean?" And the daughter says, "Don't forget to announce spring forward." But when we're talking among or trying to communicate among people that don't speak the same language as us, we often will resort to gestures. Yeah, smiles, the light of the eyes, some way to communicate. And that's exactly how creation functions on a global scale. Creation is smiling at humankind and saying, God is good. God's intentions for us are good. In that second passage that we read, Psalm 8, this is a beloved passage as well. It is the first hymn of praise in the Psalter. Isn't that interesting? And it's the only hymn in the Old Testament that is written entirely directing its address to God. The entire thing spoken to God, not about God, but to God. The psalmist says when he looks at creation, when he considers it, some might say when he meditates on creation, he doesn't think about how just exclusively how great creation is. He looks to the one who authored creation, and that makes his heart warm and beat faster. He takes it in. And that causes him to praise Yahweh, the personal name of God. He says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have ordained, what are we humans that you are mindful of us, that you care for us? The word mindful means remember. And the word that's used there for care for means visit. Do you see the personal nature of God? God has visited humankind. God has remembered us. And the heavens bear witness to this, that this God who fashioned galaxies fashioned you, and you matter to God. Have you experienced this kind of power in the out of doors? Have you been reminded that you are small and that God is big and yet God cares for you? I have had this experience lying on a sleeping mat under the stars at Big Bend in Canada, the most spectacular night sky I've ever seen to this moment. Looking at each star and knowing galaxies are out there. God is big and God is good. I've experienced that holding a new puppy or looking into the pistil and stem of a flower. All around us are witnesses of God's creation and God's goodness. They're all an invitation to praise God. This week, I'm hoping that more than two of you will experiment with some of the spiritual practices that I'm introducing to you today. And this week, I want you to experience creation and have it point you to God. You might journal about it. You might just sit and celebrate it. But we're going to try an experiment right now. And it's a little convoluted because most of us are indoors. If you're on Zoom, you might be out of doors, but you're probably indoors too. Unless you're Tammy Strogas watching beside your pool. Then you're probably inside. But I want to give us a foretaste of something we can experiment with this week in the out of doors. And this is a symphony of sound. So we're going to take 2 minutes. And I invite you to close your eyes. And here's what I want you to do when we're doing this, so you're clued in ahead of time. I want you to identify as many unique sounds as you can. Okay, so in that 2 minute period, everything. And when it's out of doors, it'll be different. But even indoors, and if you're on Zoom, you're going to have a different experience in your living room or your bedroom than we are having in this communal space. I want you to identify as many unique sounds as you can. And then I want you to think about what does that communicate to you about God or that is worthy of praise. We're going to have to use our imaginations a little bit. So let's take a couple of minutes. Close your eyes if you will. Notice the sounds. All right. If you're on Zoom, I invite you to type in the sounds that you noticed, and Miss Wendy will keep a record of those for us. What did you hear? You just name the sound right now, and we'll kind of come up together with what might be from that. The children. So those of us who are in house hear the children in the next room playing and talking. What might lead you to praise the Creator God from that? Say again, Miss Grace. The innocence of children. That God makes all things new. That there are fresh slates.
Do you want to hear what the Zoomer said?
Yes, I'd love to.
Birds chirping.
So birds chirping.
Plane flying overhead.
Wind chime. So these are great examples of what we might experience when we are out of doors. What might birds chirping say to you? God provides for the sparrows, picking up on a biblical passage, right? What about the variety of birdsong? We've recently had a northern mockingbird outside our bedroom window that sings all night long. And a northern, I found this out because I looked up what sings all night long in about 500 different songs. And that's the one. It keeps changing its tune. It's a mimic bird. And so it makes these sounds. It's the forlorn male who wants the girls to come. But how powerful the variety of creation. So many different birds, so many different songs. God is a creative God. Airplane, what might an airplane communicate to you that leads you to praise? For Phyllis, it will mean meaningful work. Yeah. For some of us, it means freedom to travel. What a privilege. Or you might think about how a plane has such a large view of the earth, and God's view is even bigger than the view from a plane. What was the other one we had? Wind chimes. What might prompt you to praise from that? The spirit. And what did you say, Grace? The air we breathe. The air we breathe. And the Holy Spirit, this image of the spirit as the wind of God and the music that comes from that. I also heard an adult supporting the children in this other room, that there is someone who is watching over, that I am not alone. We might have heard the breath of our neighbor. We might have heard a little tweaking as we're moving around on these very comfortable benches. The air conditioning, what would that communicate to you?
Oh,
thank you, God, for the privilege of comfort. For the privilege of comfort. So there are all manner of things that we, if we sit with it, if we don't hurry, we might experience in a powerful way. So I've got these little handouts for you today. And maybe when we reconvene in 2 weeks, somebody might have tried at least one of them. Some suggestions of ways that you might experiment in creation this week to see how it promotes and lifts your concepts toward God's character or the sense of praise. The thought occurred to me this morning as I was out walking my puppies, because they are a picture of God's goodness to me, that it's not only in the Psalms that we see reminders about nature. When Jesus wanted to communicate the human condition and the priority of God's love and presence to us, in the Sermon on the Mount, he made this statement: "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than clothing, not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil or spin. They don't go to work. They don't sit at the loom. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it's the Gentiles who seek all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Scripture attests across testaments that nature and creation point us right back to God. My friends, this week, let's experiment with it. Let's give it a try. Let's bathe in creation. Let's immerse. Let's pray. God, your artisanship knows no bounds. You have infused all of creation with your imagination, with the work of your fingers. And when we slow down enough to pay attention to your artwork, we are mindful of your goodness and of your presence in our lives. Lord, teach us to slow down. Teach us to be present and turn what we see into praise, into recognition of your character and also the works of your hands. As we come metaphorically and literally to the table this morning, we remember your presence to us. And we ask that you will cause these tactile elements, these tastable elements, this bread and this unfermented wine, to be for us a heavenly banquet. That taste among the senses will trigger praise within us to remember that you love us and your plans for us are good. So cause them to be for us that heavenly banquet, one at which Jesus himself presides as host. Raise us up mystically so that we participate in this meal not only with the saints in this room or on that Brady Bunch screen with the other Zoomers, but with all of the saints that have gone before, with apostles and grandparents and Art and Ruth Sanborn, parents and children and friends. Let it be so. Hear our prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jeff, come on up, sir.